that's going to be organized in a way that you're going to begin to get the bigger picture. We haven't even talked about the history today. That's fascinating. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries will put the Believer's Conditional Security in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. A big thank you to Dan Corner for the massive work that he has done to put this together, for the passion of his heart. And friends, if you are not secure in Christ, if you have been living in unrighteousness and rebellion, repent. Repent. Turn back to a loving Father. And in His great mercy, He will receive you and forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Become a partner with us. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. And let's listen to the voice of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to with the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Ron Brown. Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Ron?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Well, Ron, of course, is in the gold and silver business, and we always look forward to having him with us. And we're going to be talking about what's happening in the financial markets. And it's rather fascinating as we read the Wall Street Journal. Now, of course, you have to understand the government would never lie to us. Government officials would never lie. I mean, these are people of integrity. And they tell us inflation is, well, core inflation is 2.1%. If you add on food and fuel, it's about, maybe 3-4, maybe 4.2%. But that's all. There is no inflation. Well, of course, if they told us the truth that the inflation was up about 12.5%, as is noted by Bob Chapman, Shadow Statistics, John Williams' website, and many other responsible websites, then they'd have to give more money to the elderly. They'd have to give more money to the people who bought inflation-indexed treasury bonds. So they simply lie. Now, what do we know about inflation? Well, first of all, we know that the price of steel has gone up 40 to 50% throughout the world. steel prices are up 40 to 50%, which will be reflected certainly very soon in the price of anything that uses steel. And then, of course, we know the price of wheat and rice and soybeans and all of these things has gone up. Rice has backed off a little, and we may not have the rice shortage many people feared, but rice prices are still far higher than they were previously. And we certainly know that if you begin looking at the things that are imported into this country from other countries, the prices are going up because the value of the dollar is going down. And it may go up one day and down the next. But if you look at it overall, the value of the dollar is down about 40% over the last several years. And you look at what's happening to our companies, why JCPenney's income is down dramatically. Blackstone, which is one of the largest hedge funds investment firms in the United States and really in the world, their income is down 95% this year. General Electric, which has always been a mainstay of our economy, they're selling off their appliance unit because their income is so bad. They're just trying to generate some funds. They need funds to keep in business, and certainly banks all across the United States, indeed all across the world, many of them are frankly insolvent if they actually were honest about, of course, their holdings, and they hold so many of these bonds, which are really, of course, not worth the paper they're written on, and that paper is really not that expensive. This is the problem we're facing today, is a matter of solvency of the whole world financial system. But they tell us, oh, things are better, you know, and we may have turned the corner, and well, it's really not true. They're simply lying, as they always do to the American people. They keep artificially keeping the price of the stock market up because they don't want you to get depressed. But we're in real trouble financially, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think, Paul? Ron?
Well, you know, I feel like if anyone that's lived in the South and gone through a hurricane, I feel like right now we're in the eye of the storm. The first storm really hit us back in August of 07. That's when the subprime loans started to collapse, and that came, of course, after the winds were building for months as people talked about the real estate bubble about ready to pop and the derivatives and all these warnings that were given us. And then the storm hit us, and the subprimes collapsed, Bear Stearns, and then a lot of the banks started having to write off massive amounts of money on these mortgage-backed securities and the CDOs, and the banking system was becoming insolvent like you're talking about.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Ron Brown. Okay, Ron, we'll go right ahead with what you're saying.
And, of course, the Fed had to come in and start to bail everything out that would fail. And as they did that, the dollar went into a tailspin, and at the same time, gold and silver went into a strong upward trend. And I went back just to see, if you look, go back to August the 7th, the dollar index closed that week at 82. By March the 8th of this year, the dollar index dropped all the way to 70.7, which is a drop of almost 14% in about 7 months. Doesn't quite jive with the figures you're talking about on inflation, does it?
No, sure it doesn't.
At the same time, gold at that same period was at about $700, and by the March the 15th or March 8th, it rose to $1,030, and that's a jump of 47% in the value of gold in that seven-month period. And silver did even better. It went from $12 to over $21, a jump of about 75% in 7 months. So you can see the monetary authorities were in a real jam. If they hadn't have stepped in to try to stop the bleeding, this thing could have gone off the deep end into a black hole. So like you say, they've been hyping everything. The worst of the mortgage backed stuff is over, and the economy is starting to improve, and on and on and on. It's just a lot of hype. And I suspect before long you're going to see the other out of the hurricane hitting. The wind will be coming from a different direction, but it'll be just as fierce and furious. So I think we've just about through the correction phase of this market. It showed a lot of strength the last week. It looks like it's ready to make another assault towards the previous high. So it'll take time. There'll be some ups and downs on the way, but I think we're about ready to see gold and silver start to recover.
Well, certainly gold looked pretty strong today, and then silver was up, but we'll just have to wait and see. They can do whatever they want to because they have the ability to manipulate the markets. They've been doing it for years. And who do you report it to when the government is the one that's violating the laws, and there's nobody to report it to? But, of course, they've manipulated the commodity markets. They've manipulated the gold and silver market. They manipulate the stock market by something called the Working Group on Financial Markets. The Working Group on Financial Markets, it's affectionately called the Plunge Protection Team. You can look it up on the Internet. It really exists. It is an official function of government to manipulate the stock market because it affects our mind, it affects our psyche, it affects how we look at the world, and when the market is up, why, we feel good, and when the market is down, we feel terrible. And this is really what they're doing, they're playing games with our minds, but the day of reckoning is coming, and very, very soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Ron Brown, and we're going to be talking about the financial situation as far as the United States, the financial situation of the world, and what people don't understand is the economy of the entire world is contracting. I said they go into China, they're running at probably an honest at least 8.8% inflation, and that is a devastating rate of inflation, and they're worried about social unrest because of the high rate of inflation. Now, it's nowhere near as high as it is here, but at least it's higher than the Chinese authorities want, and so they're going to be doing everything they can to try to slow down their economy. What's really so interesting here in the United States, the function of our Federal Reserve System is to preserve the stability of our dollar. But they're not doing that. To preserve our dollar, they should be raising the interest rates, contracting the amount of credit that's there, and trying to slow the economy down. Instead of that, they're lowering the interest rates, they're making credit readily available, and in this process, they're massively expanding the amount of money and credit that's out there, which is totally destructive to the value of our currency, and that's why, of course, our currency is falling and will continue to fall and may very well eventually go into the dustbin of history, wiping out literally tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of Americans and their savings and their pensions and their annuity and everything they've worked their whole lives for, lost, of course, in this inflationary spiral which is upon us. Well, Ron, how's the gold and silver market? Are people beginning to get back into it? Are they sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to happen?
Well, it's obviously nothing like it was back in February, March, but it's been very steady. Noticing more and more people not panicking with the drops, but looking at the drops as an opportunity to buy it cheaper for the ones who missed out on it, 6 months ago. So yeah, I think it's stabilized. The people are starting to slowly come back in. What I'm starting to see, Dr. Stan, I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the future, is that especially in the silver market, where a lot of people find silver too bulky if you're a big investor, so they find it easier to invest in like pool accounts or futures market or these, in other words, have someone else store their silver for them.
You're talking about the exchange-traded funds, ETF.
The ETF, right. You have a lot of storage programs, for example, Morgan Stanley had a lawsuit brought against them when it came out that they weren't storing any silver at all in their programs. So a lot of people that are sitting there with a certificate that says they have silver stored at XYZ bank depository or whatever are now starting to question that maybe that silver doesn't exist or it's not being stored on their behalf. And so you're starting to see people kind of lose confidence in those type of programs. And as they do, then they get out of these paper positions for silver and look to buy the real silver and take delivery of it. And, of course, as that happens, if you think we have a shortage in silver today, wait till the millions and millions of ounces of paper certificates start seeking the refuge of real silver.
Well, of course, we hear this story about the shortage of silver, but is this real? Certainly we know that you have a hard time getting certainly silver, 100-ounce silver bars, but can you buy, 1,000-ounce silver bars? Can you buy the silver rounds today? Are they readily available?
No, they're not. I was trying to place several orders for them today, and The dealers are they're trying to buy them in the secondary market, but they're having trouble getting them from the mints, the refineries. Apparently, what happened when the first shortage hit back in March, the premium on all these types of coins went up, and so the dealers started trying to buy the silver they needed through the secondary market instead of from the refineries. And as they did that, some of the refineries shut down or slowed down on their production, which made the shortage even worse. Plus, a lot of the silver that was going into the what we call the generic rounds was being bought up by the U.S. Treasury or the U.S. Mint to mint the U.S. Eagle. Because they had to suspend deliveries on those for about 3 weeks because they didn't have enough raw material. So you're starting to see the early stages of the shortages, and they'll become more chronic as we go, as more and more people wake up to the plight of the dollar and inflation fears and so forth and start to seek refuge of gold and silver.
Well, now, Chris, what about the silver? You heard that the Mint had released a million of those, and I know that they were bought up, but aren't they going to continue minting them as they have in the past? After all, they make a pretty good profit on that. One of the few things the government makes a profit on.
Well, they announced about the time they resumed delivering that they were going to put them on ration. They were going to start rationing the silver eagles. Now, I've never heard them come out with a clarification of what that means. Back in 1999, when we were going into the Y2K scare, the Mint...
Go right ahead.
The Mint could get the demand on the 1/10 ounce gold eagles, and they put them on allocation, and when they did that, in a 2-week period, they went from $32 my cost to $49 my cost. That's a 50% rise in 2 weeks.
All right, fine. We're having just a little difficulty, but I think we're going to get around that in just a moment here. And under any circumstances, I guess, is Ron Brown. We're talking about the shortage of silver, or at least the apparent shortage of silver. Now, could you actually go out and buy 1,000-ounce bars of silver right now if you had a client who was willing to take them and store them?
I suspect you can. I really don't deal much in 1,000-ounce bars.
All right.
I took delivery of 25 of them one time and swore I would never do that again. Most people, when they buy silver today, the people I deal with, I'm not talking about the multi-millionaires, but the average person who wants to buy silver, he wants to get it in smaller increments so it could work for a barter and trade if the system ever goes into crisis. And so I don't deal an awful lot in 1,000-ounce bars. I think you could get them, but there would probably be a little weight on them. 100-ounce bars are very, very difficult to find.
All right, fine. So do you have any silver eagles in stock now? When do you think you'll be able to get them? Those are the ones put out by the U.S. Mint.
They're taking orders for them, but usually it's a week to 2 weeks delivery on them. And my gut feeling is that once we break through 17 on silver and we resume and the demand accelerates again as we go into the next leg up, you're going to see an extreme shortage hit. And at that point, I think you'll see the premium on these coins really go up and there will be a chronic shortage of them.
Well, now, what about the 90% silver coin bags of $1,000 and 90% silver coins? Are those still readily available?
I wouldn't say they're readily available. They're certainly available. That's probably the easiest thing to get right now would be the what we call the junk bags.
Okay, fine. So I'm glad things are, but at least that you're doing well. And, friends, our listeners, why Ron does still listen. Ron supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support him. We think he does a good job, and we've never had a complaint from anybody who's dealt with him. Well, certainly, the people who are coming to you are ones that really are aware of the fact that we have a monetary system that is built upon, it's like building a castle on sand with the tide coming in. I mean, it's going to be washed away. We have a fiat money system with nothing behind it, and there's no incident in all history where something like this has survived. And the entire world monetary system is built upon the dollar, and the dollar's falling in value, and a lot of these central banks don't know what to do. They have to support the American dollar, at least for the time being, because they would be losing so much. After all, the Chinese communists probably have over $1 trillion in American dollars. The Japanese probably have a $700 or $800 billion in dollars. They have to do something with that money. And if they don't support us, and the American dollar were just to collapse suddenly, why, they would lose even more money. I mean, they've lost 40% here in the last couple of years because of the fall in the value of the dollar, because their investment in treasury bonds or bills or notes is all denominated in dollars. But you don't want to keep investing in something that's losing value. You can't do that indefinitely. And unfortunately, this is what's happening as far as the central banks of the world. So what do you think they're going to do? Ron, they're holding so many dollars, they're afraid just to dump them for fear that they'll lose the value of everything else they have.
Well, you know, I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 years that China and Japan desperately needed us for trade. We're the biggest consumers in the world. And China was willing to recycle that money and buy our debt in order to keep the trade going. But I've been saying at some point they're going to start diversifying out of the dollar, weaning themselves from their over-dependence on us. And at some point in the future, and it may not be too far out, that they'll just jettison the dollar, and because they're building trade within themselves. You know, China has, what, 1-point-something billion people?
1.25 billion people, yeah.
Now they're building their own middle class so they can make things and sell it internally, so they're not nearly as dependent on us as they were, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago to export to. So at some point they're going to start, and I think they already started doing it, they're weaning out of dollars and going into gold and silver and buying up any type of plant or anything around the world that they can, you know, trying to convert those paper dollars to something that's tangible and real.
Okay, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Ron, anything you'd like to talk about, and of course, we're basically looking at what's happening. You're seeing the demise, in my estimation, of the American financial system. And, of course, many of our major banks are frankly bankrupt. The Federal Reserve System is going in and trying to stabilize them, and that's not the job of the Federal Reserve. In fact, Paul Volcker testified within this last week before the Joint Economic Commission that the Federal Reserve is doing all sorts of things that shouldn't be done. Their job is to stabilize the dollar, and it would almost appear that they've abandoned efforts to stabilize the dollar. They want to, of course, help out their friends in the banking system and keep them from going down. But, of course, as they do that, they endanger the life savings of every American who's invested their whole life to accumulate dollars. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, Ron, you go right ahead. What do you find as far as the economy there in Colorado where you're living? Are they having a lot of problems? I understand that around Denver they've got a tremendous number of homes that have been built and nobody in them. And, of course, more and more people certainly are losing their homes by foreclosure. Probably 1.6 million people lost their homes to foreclosure this last year. In just the first quarter of this year, over 600,000 American homes went into foreclosure. And we're talking about the potential loss already of somewhere between 8 and 10 million American homes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Colorado Springs has definitely slowed down. Of course, we're kind of boosted a little bit by all the military bases here and when they consolidated a lot of the bases, I think they actually increased the population of the military here. So it's moderated things a little bit. I hear the same thing you hear about in Denver, that it's just massive foreclosures and prices are dropping. It's a little slow here, but it's not nearly as disastrous as it is out in California and Florida and places like that. But it's coming. You know, it just hits different areas at different stages of the game. California had the biggest, increases over the last 4 or 5 years, along with Florida and places like that. And so they're having the biggest drops now. But I'm hearing horror stories about California.
Well, I know. I was just talking with a friend of mine in Southern California. He lives in a real high-rate neighborhood. Homes run $1 to $2 million, you know, nice lots, half acre lots. And apparently in this community, there are about 237 houses that are up for sale. And last month, about one of them sold. So, I mean, they're having real problems, and this is all over Southern California. And the reason that they're having problems is because the prices have run up so high. And unless you can get somebody who can come up with, a significant down payment, they borrow the rest of the money. And of course, it's until very recently, it was very difficult to borrow money on any home over $300,000. I think now you can borrow money on a home up to about $700,000. If you've got $1 million, you can get a great buy at the present time. But if you don't have the money, why, I think that a lot of people are going to have trouble buying homes. And when you do, you're probably still going to be paying far more than that home is worth, because in many of the parts of California and Las Vegas and Miami and Sydney and Phoenix, why, those homes are going to drop another 25 to 30% before we hit rock bottom. And so, as a result, many people are going to be underwater. In other words, they're going to own far more money on their mortgage than the home would bring in the open market, which is why many people, even who are fairly well-to-do, have bought homes, are going to walk away from their homes. After all, why continue paying a mortgage on an $800,000 home when the home's only worth $500,000 or $600,000? And I think that's why this whole housing collapse is going to begin to feed on itself.
Well, people don't have really a choice. They can't sell their house, because if it's going $100,000, $200,000 under what they owe on it, then they can't come up with the $100,000 to close the deal anyway. So it really gives them no choice, I guess, but to walk away from it.
Apparently, this is happening increasingly all across our country. We'll be back in just a moment with Ron Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. The American automobile industry has the ability to turn out about 18.5 million cars a year. But of course, they're planning only on turning out about 14.5 million cars a year. And one of the big problems that General Motors has is that it loses money on every car. They have to discount them so much to actually sell the cars. But they have to keep producing them because of the contracts with the unions. And of course, this is a disaster for General Motors. They're making their money. They're the largest car producer in China today. You're not hearing that. Most Americans have no idea what's happening in the rest of the world. But General Motors and Ford are shifting their industrial base to China. And one day, I feel, probably they're going to just totally shut down all of their production in Michigan and in the Middle West and produce everything over in China, and then bring it in by car, by a freight, and introduce it here, which, of course, is going to leave an awful lot of General Motors employees, waiting to be called back on the job, and there are not going to be any jobs there. In fact, there's no way that the American workers can compete with Chinese workers at the present time and maintain their living standards. And so, I mean, this has always been the long-range plan, to do away with good-paying jobs in the United States, create good-paying jobs, or at least better-paying jobs, in China and other third-world countries, and to transfer America's industrial base and America's wealth to other nations. It's coming to pass, and I don't think the average person can really believe that this has always been the intention, and that was to lower the living standards of the American worker. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Oh, absolutely, and, you know, of course, when we're totally in depression here, they'll probably start bringing the plants back over and hiring people at minimum wage, you know. No telling what the minimum wage will be then. But, yeah, it's been going on for years. It's been their whole plan is to undermine the sovereignty and strength of America and bring us down to... in fact, I remember the old quote. It says, what we must do is take an end run around national sovereignty to eroded piece by piece to raise the standard of living of the undeveloped countries of the world while we lower the standard of living in America so they can more comfortably be merged into a new world order. And that's been their game plan, and they've been doing it very brilliantly.
They certainly have, and, you know, there's just so many things going on today that the average American has no idea what's going on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. The American people never ask, why is it that the senators and the congressmen refuse to vote to make English the official language of the United States? Well, the reason is very simple, because they do not want to have an American country. They want a multicultural, multilingual society. They've been planning for many years to merge our society with that of Mexico and Central America, and this is how you do it. We have, in fact, you can call so many corporations today, and you'll get your message both in English and in Spanish. Why don't they insist on English being the official language of the United States? Because that's not the agenda. The agenda, of course, is to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, and so we can have a multicultural, multilingual, globalist society. And when you understand that, so many things make sense. That's why with the so-called war on terrorism in place, why they steadfastly refuse to enforce our immigration laws to guard our border. We've got Paul coming, or calling from Arizona. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. Are you still with me?
We're still here. I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask Rod, we've been hearing about a shortage of silver, and we know it's being manipulated. And we hear.
Hey, can you go ahead and talk just a little louder, please? Go ahead.
Did you hear what we said so far?
You said that there's a shortage of silver, at least we're told there's a shortage of silver. Go ahead.
Right. Well, there was some talk of buying or selling silver. I'm trying to use some of mine, and I don't want to use it at the depressed price. And I wanted to know if there is actually a, what would you call it, a surcharge on it now?
Yeah, the premiums are slowly going up. And the reason for that is, one, because of the shortage, but two, you see, all the dealers around the country are sitting there and they have their little computers, and it's like a spreadsheet, and they have all the items they sell, and then all they have to do is enter the base price of the metal, and then their computer automatically updates their chart so they know what their bid and their ask price for every item on the board. The problem they have is when the futures market is manipulated and the bankers ambush the speculators.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. We've got Ron Brown with us, and we've got Paul from Arizona. Ron, why don't you go ahead and then finish your explanation of what's going on?
Okay, we've all heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, if the base price that they use for calculating the cost on all their items comes from the futures market, but the futures market is being rigged and manipulated, and the price, for example, dropped from $21 to $16 in 3, 4, 5 days here about a month ago or 2 months ago. And so the price they're using as their input is totally out of touch with the reality of the supply-demand equation for physical gold and silver. So what happens is the people that own gold and silver refuse to sell it at the lower prices, and the dealers are having trouble finding it because of the people are not willing to recycle it. And so they have to start raising the premium to attract the metal to them so they can sell it. Back in 99, we were talking that the silver bags went to a 57% premium over melt in a matter of 2 weeks.
Well, how does
when the flight into gold and silver accelerates and they're manipulating the price of gold and silver in the futures market, that puts the dealers in a real bind because they can no longer use that as a reputable input to their equation. Secondly, they have trouble hedging their positions For example, if I called a dealer and ordered 10,000 ounces of silver, he may not have that in hand, but he would go into the futures market to try to hedge, because he locks in a price with me, and then he goes out and hedges position in the futures market. Well, if the futures market has lost touch with the physical demand, then his hedges don't work anymore. So it creates a real problem. They have to start raising their price to protect themselves. Does that make sense?
Paul, go ahead. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
Well, yeah, but what do I do? How do I?
You want to sell your silver now because you need the money?
Well, I need some money, but what I'm going to try to do is barter it. But how do I come up with a price?
How does he come up with a price if he wants to barter his silver at the present time?
Well, there's all sorts of, you can go to Kitco and they'll give the going market price for all the different items in the market. That's KITCO .com.
But that's not tied directly to the spot price?
Well, it's tied directly to the market price for the different items. So if you have Silver Eagles, you could look at some of those quote systems and see what they're selling them for. And that's what they're going for in the marketplace.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Paul calling from Arizona, just wondering how he would determine the price of the value of the silver coins or whatever form of silver he's holding now. And, of course, what I would suggest, Paul, is why don't you just call a dealer and ask him what they're worth, what he'd give you for them, okay? That's
well,
the easiest thing to do.
I can do that, but if I've heard that what you'll get is the spot price, but you can't buy it at that.
No, that's right. There's a spread between buy and sell, so you're going to get less when you sell it than you would actually pay for it. It probably depends on what is there, about a 3% spread there, a 5% spread? What would it be, Ron?
It varies, and as the market gets more volatile, the spread widens. For example, the spread on a bag of silver right now is, $400 and something a bag. So, for example, today there were like 11,700 bid, close to 12,200 ask. So if you call the dealer to sell it, they're going to give you the bid price, and if you call to buy it, they're going to charge you the ask price.
So that's what you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to recognize the fact that there's going to be a differential between what you can sell it for and what you can buy it for, okay?
Well, what I better do is hold on as long as I can.
You held on as long as you can. I think it would be very foolish right now to be selling your silver, because I think it's going to go up a lot higher. Anyway, we'll just have to wait and see. Remember, I'm not a financial consultant. I'm just a guy who's been watching this for 46 years. Anyway,
all
God
right.
Bless, and thanks so much for calling,
thanks
Paul.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye. And we're going to go to Gene in Walla Walla, Washington. But before we do, Ron, I want you to get out your telephone number and tell people how they can get in touch with you. And have you got that website up yet?
No.
All right, fine. Well, then just tell them how to get in touch with you if they'd like to and get any advice from you.
Okay, they can reach me at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. I can put together a packet of information and some newsletters I've put out, so just feel free to call and ask for that, and if you have any questions, just feel free to call me and ask me. That's what I do for a living.
All right, fine. We've got Gene in Walla Walla, Washington. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Gene, do you have a question or comment?
I do, Dr. Stan. I've been listening to you for 3 or 4 years, and I first heard Ron on your program, and we've been doing business for that length of time. I'd like to ask Ron if he thinks as we get into June, July, if we'll see a pullback in the market and a better opportunity to buy.
A good question. I think we've already had the pullback. There's a myth. It goes along with all the hype Dr. Stan was talking about, how they're trying to convince people that things are okay, and they have the old saying, it's sell in May and go away. And that goes on the tradition that gold and silver a lot of times are very sluggish during the summer months, and then they come back stronger in August, September. That probably, this would be my opinion on it, that would apply to the gold and silver market when the major driver in the gold and silver market is as an industrial commodity. Because in the summer months, the jewelers, for example, all go on vacation. So the industrial demand
for gold at that point, and probably silver too, would drop off a little bit. What's driving the market today, though, is not the industrial supply-demand equation. It's the monetary flight out of paper money.
Right.
So if you go back to 1979 when we had the silver go from $5 to $52 and gold went from $192 to $870, it was blowing and going throughout the summer months. So I don't think that is going to apply because the main crisis we face now is the flight out of the dollar.
One other question for you, Ron. When you talk to people, and I talk to people about Dr. Stan's program and buying metals, they look at the price of a bag of silver, you know, now $12,000 to $13,000, and they about fall over. Would you want to tell anyone what your minimum sale would be, like, you know, 60 or 80 or 100 silver eagles as a minimum sale, or do you have to buy full boxes and full bags?
No, I can deal basically with orders of around $1,000 up. Now, when the dealers are slow, we can take small orders on occasion, but when things really get busy, yeah, like they were back in January, February, March, you just kind of hate to go to the dealers and try to push them into sending out a $500 order because it takes them just as much time to process that, and they're already back-ordered. So, but, you know, figure just $1,000 minimum order.
Okay.
Okay, anything else, Gene?
No, that's it, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, but I think that basically what Ron is saying is we're really in uncharted waters. I mean, right now we're seeing the demise of our monetary system. We've never seen that before, and since this is what's happening, the old rules of the markets go up and when gold and silver and commodities go up, these no longer apply. This is a whole new world we're in, and only God knows which direction things are going to go.
That's for sure. And Dr. Stan, what makes it difficult for someone like myself that's been buying for 3 or 4 years, when you've bought a bag for $8,000 and now they're $14,000, it makes you stop and think a moment.
Well, I'll tell you what, but if you sold it, what are you going to end up? You're going to end up with paper money, and you've already, of course, done very, very well. You've not done double your money, but you're well on the way to that. But hang in there, because I think that this run-up is just beginning, in my opinion.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, fine. Well, that was Gene calling from Walla Walla. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And people often ask me what's going to happen, and I say, quite frankly, I don't know. But I do know that, throughout history, when financial systems have gotten into trouble, gold and silver had maintained their value. And you go back and you read about Florence, you know, in the 1500s in Venice, and in the 1600s, and they had their monetary system, they had their banking systems, and they created great prosperity for a time, and then they collapsed. And certainly, it is amazing that this current monetary system, based upon the Bank of England, which was established in 1694, has lasted as long as it has. And it really could have lasted indefinitely had it maintained its tie to gold so that they could not print excess money. The whole idea, and as Paul Volcker said when he testified before the George Economic Commission this last week, is that the whole idea is that politicians should not be allowed to print money, because politicians will always print much more money than they should, and so you had to have this privately owned central bank that would be there to act as a break, to act as a restriction on the politicians who just love to give away money and other people's money, because that's how they get reelected and they gain their power. The Federal Reserve System, in decades past, has worked to preserve the value of the currency over the objection of the politicians, and that's what Paul Volcker did in 1979 and 1980. And we should certainly be grateful to him, because what he did was preserve our currency. And had they done the right thing after that and not kept printing money, why, we'd be in good shape today, but they didn't. And right now, of course, we're really facing the demise of the currency, because there's this, well, right now, of course, the M3, that's the monetary increment that they refuse to print. But according to Bob Chapman and Shadow Statistics, this is running 18%. And that's going to be, if nothing changes, within a year we'll be having 18% inflation here. And that means that every year, why you lose 18% of the value of your life savings. And that's what the American people don't understand. They imagine that our currency is sound. It used to be sound, but it is no longer sound, which is why people are moving into gold and silver now. And those who got started in it when we first started talking, you know, a bag of silver was $3. Well, they've done pretty well, haven't they?
That's right. I had a lot of people that look back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, and they've tripled and quadrupled their money on their silver investments. So, and likewise with the gold.
Well,
you know, Dr. Stan, the Fed, of course, was created initially to get away from the gold standard and the discipline that put on the politicians. And, of course, the politicians went along with it because it allowed them to make promises to the constituency, and they could spend more money than they brought in taxes and finance it through the Fed without having to go back to the people to raise taxes. So once we went off the gold standard, of course, then they started to inflate. Do it slowly. They create prosperity. Everyone loves what's going on for years, but eventually you start building a debt structure that becomes overwhelming, and that's where we are now. It's like a Ponzi scheme. They have to keep the system growing, otherwise it'll totally collapse, and that's why they have to step in and bail out every major institution that tries to fail.
And, of course, that's why they bailed out Bear Stearns, but there's so many more that are going to be failing. And this, the Federal Reserve Bank had something like about $800 billion that they could use to stabilize our economy. They've already gone through over half of that, and we're just getting into this financial crisis. They've already committed over 400 of that $800 billion they had, and when they run out of money, then what do they do? Well, of course, obviously, what would any self-respecting person do? They'd simply print more money. But, of course, when you print more money and create more credit, it erodes the value of the currency. And, of course, they found this time and again through history, whether it would have been in ancient Greece, in ancient Rome, or whether it would be in Venice or Florence or the Weimar Republic, or what's going on in Rhodesia today, in that tragic nation where the United States State Department forced a Marxist thug, and his name is Mugabe, onto the helpless people of Rhodesia, and he's managed to effectively destroy the value of everything they had. I don't know, maybe that's just a trial run to see what they're going to do here in this United States and see how the people will react. But of course, America had promised the people of Rhodesia, today we call it Zimbabwe, but the United States, and specifically Henry Kissinger, had gone on television and promised the people of Rhodesia that they had nothing to fear by accepting the American choice for their leader, Robert Mugabe, who was a thug trained in communist China, and he's always been a thug, and he is still a thug today. And, of course, he was the one then, of course, who was in the process of refusing to step down. We are actually actively financing him today, but we can't let the American people know that. We're financing through AIDS, financing of AIDS control, financing of agriculture, giving money to the United Nations, which then buys food that they send to keep Mugabe's thugs, the military and police in power to oppress the people and maintain his position. And then, of course, our good friends in communist China, we lend all sorts of money to them so they can send their soldiers over to Zimbabwe to continue oppressing the people there. And as they say, maybe this is just a trial run to see how it will work in what was once probably one of the most prosperous and freest countries in all of Southern Africa. Well, Ron, where are we going from here as you see things unfolding?
I remember when all that was happening in Rhodesia, Mugabe and his terrorists shot down a commercial airplane with a missile, and they had a picture of him standing on the wing of this shot down. I forgot how many people died in that crash, but he was bragging about what he had done. And the very next day, the World Council of Churches, I think, gave him a $100,000 donation or something like that. So it just makes you wonder what's going on. But as far as where we're going, I think we've seen the correction. It's going to take a little base building. I think we'll probably see it go up. Right now, in fact, Friday we broke through 900 on gold. Silver broke through 17. Those are critical areas, so we'll have to see if it can hold that Monday or next week. If it can hold that for two or three days, then we'll probably go up and re-challenge $1,000 on gold, and it'll probably take a few shots to get through there, but it's going to, because absolutely nothing has changed. People need to ask themselves, what have our politicians and bankers done in the last 6 months that have worked to improve our situation? And the reality is they've done nothing. Everything they've done is just exacerbates the problem. You cannot solve an inflation problem by inflating.
Right, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. And then, Chris, out there in the wings, as a possible complication, that could really, of course, actually sink our whole financial system, is the very real possibility that George Bush and his administration are planning to expand the war into Iran. And, of course, if you listen to the rhetoric, everything is Iran's responsible for killing boys and American soldiers in Iraq. They're supplying the weapons to the, and the explosive devices to the terrorists there, the Al Qaeda and the insurgents in Iraq, and of course we cannot allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon, and there's talk of Israel actually having a first strike on Iran, or the possibility that the United States might actually attack a base, a Revolutionary Guard base just outside of Tehran, but only, of course, a limited attack. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a limited attack, it's an act of war. And when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. And I think every American should be doing everything they could, writing to their congressman and writing to their senator and talking to their fellow citizens, and point out that all of the rhetoric that we're hearing about Iran today was just like the rhetoric we heard about Iraq before we went in there and killed a million of their people. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And I really fear that if we go to war with Iran, which I think is a very real possibility, why, of course, it will skyrocket the price of oil. It will skyrocket, of course, the destruction of the American currency, and gold and silver will go up, but none of us, of course, will take any satisfaction should that occur, because of the terrible suffering that will occur, not only to the people of Iran, but, of course, to the American forces, who are such easy targets over there in Iraq. And believe me, if Iran is attacked, whether by Israel or by the United States, why there will be reprisals against our troops in Iraq. If you want to support the American troops, demand that they be brought home before they're slaughtered, even more of them. Oh, go ahead, Ron. We've got about a couple of minutes before we have to let you go.
Well, and of course, the real problem is if we do attack Iran, that would be the straw that broke the camel's back. That would exacerbate the flight out of the dollar, the destruction of the dollar. The dollar would lose its status as the world's reserve currency, which is the situation that allowed us to borrow at will to fund our folly. And so the tragic to me about this whole thing is that the very people who have created this crisis to destroy the dollar have an agenda to take advantage of that very crisis. And, of course, I think what they're taking us to is the next step in their new world order. They're going to create the monetary, the dollar crisis, and in that crisis they will impose their solution, which would be to merge, of course, the United States with Mexico and Canada, do away with the dollar as our currency, and in the process we would throw the baby out with the bathwater, and there would go our Constitution and the rule of law that has given us this prosperity and freedom throughout our history of our country.
And, of course, you can't have a sovereign country unless you have a sovereign currency. They want to destroy, of course, our currency. And whether it's an euro, whether it's a global currency, doesn't matter. They want to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. Well, Ron, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, you and I have been talking about the coming crisis now for, 5 or 6 years now. We were talking about the stock market crisis. We saw the collapse of the NASDAQ and the high-tech stocks. We talked at length about the coming real estate bubble and how it was about to pop, and of course it's popped. And now that was kind of the last straw. It was the real estate boom that was creating and maintaining our prosperity. But once that collapsed, then the jobs are disappearing. You know, it's starting to affect every sector of our society. The auto sales are down. Everything is starting. So we're heading towards a major recession, which is going to be towards a depression. And, of course, the bankers will try to print their way out of it. But as they do that, then they will send us into hyperinflation. And that's where people, if they don't wake up to what's happening, their savings will be destroyed. And it can happen very, very quickly once we hit critical mass. And I think we're approaching that very, very quickly. So people need to start thinking outside the box and start thinking out, you know, instead of your traditional investments, which have not served them well for the last 5-6 years, they need to start studying how to protect their assets. And, of course, history shows that gold and silver has been the one vehicle that would protect yourself from a devaluing or collapsing currency.
I agree with it totally, and I think people, hopefully people are going to, you know, get in touch with you, learn more about these subjects, begin reading and studying about this, because, of course, the vast majority of the people are going to be destroyed before this thing is all over. And I would simply quote again from Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, where he talks about Lenin. And Lenin saying there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. There's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And not one person in a million will understand what's going on. Well, fortunately, since we do have talk of radio and shortwave and internet, and certainly we do have people out there listening all across America, why, at least our members of our audience understand what's going on, and all we can do is hope that they will reach others, and people are going to have to tell people what's going on. Because the best thing you can do for anybody is let them understand what is taking place, and hopefully at least some of the people who will listen will survive the coming financial tsunami. And I believe we are seeing the perfect financial storm, which is going to engulf our entire nation, is going to engulf the entire world. And if we go into Iran, it will only accelerate the process. We'll be back here in just a moment. Hang on, Ron, we'll get your telephone number out one more time. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Ron Brown. Ron, let's get your telephone number out one more time.
Okay, you can reach me at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Our guest, Ron Brown, and we'll look to talking to you next month. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, if you haven't yet heard my talk on the financial tsunami, why we hope that many of you will want to go ahead and get that. It's on DVD or VHS. But there's a syllabus that goes with that, and we certainly recommend the syllabus. We actually have a little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. It's based upon 5 of our newsletters, but it's information you need to have. We actually have a newer tape set, pardon me, a newer pamphlet. It's called The Financial Meltdown. And they're inexpensive. They're very easy to read. If you'd like more information on a suggested gift to get them, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The book you should read is The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island, and we actually have an Amazon store. We probably sell more of those books. I mean, we're talking about half a dozen, a dozen, sometimes even 20 of those books in a single week. It is the most important book. It's being read throughout the world. And if you haven't read it, why, of course, you really don't have a grasp of how this whole thing fits together. And I will tell you, I learned a lot from reading that book, and I've been studying this for a good long time. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because the Federal Reserve System is a conspiracy. It is a privately owned central bank, which was created for the benefit of the bankers, to enrich the bankers, and, of course, to impoverish the people. But, of course, we couldn't tell the American people that, so we had to make them believe the Federal Reserve was part of the central government, and it is not. If it's a privately owned central bank that works in concert with the other central bankers that sit around and plot on how they're going to create a world feudalistic society. And if you doubt that, you need to get the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and I believe that's on page 324, what I just quoted, about the central bankers holding their secret meetings, controlling the governments of their respective countries, and plotting on how to bring about a feudalistic system. And ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to be one of the feudal lords, believe me, you're going to be one of the feudal slaves. The book, again, is entitled Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, although we actually give you the exact quotation in my pamphlet, The History of Money. So again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you'd like. Information on the suggested donations to receive any of these items, and then we do hope that many of you out there will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters and read them, going back to the late 1990s, and you're welcome to copy them and distribute them. You can pull down our live programs, certainly 4 hours a day on our satellite feed. We archive 3 hours a day on our website. That's 3 hours a day. And, of course, we have MP3s for 3 hours a day. The information there is free. We have a number of DVDs that we have made or our friends have made, and they're available on our website by going to RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Your job out there is to tell others about our program. Don't try to lecture them. Just ask them questions. And hopefully by asking questions, you'll begin to get them to think, because you must understand that most Americans have been systematically brainwashed by the controlled media. And your job is, of course, to get that information to them with the hope that they will be able to begin to reach others. And every person you can convince can convince 100 others. And believe me, all across America, people are beginning to learn what's going on. And I'm rather encouraged. I've been at this for 46 years. We have more chance today to reach people than ever before. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we are truly involved in a spiritual war. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Amy Philo. And Amy is going to be talking about Prozac and the dangers of Prozac. Now, if you look at the original studies on Prozac, and you really read them through, and where they did controlled studies showing the difference between people who were given Prozac and people who were giving, placebos, unless they were just terribly, terribly depressed, why, there was perhaps 1% benefit from the Prozac, giving the Prozac. And yet, this is a potentially very dangerous drug. And with that as the background, you go have the Prozac, Zoloft, and of course all of these other are the SSRI, that's a serum serotonin reabsorption inhibitors, and they've raised the level of serotonin, which is essential for brain function. Amy, you picked the story up. How did you get interested in this whole situation, and what's going on today?
Well, I was a new mom in 2004 for the first time, and they put me on Zoloft. I was put on it to prevent PPD, postpartum depression, because I was anxious. My son almost died from choking when he was 3 days old, and so I was very worried about him. And the nurse that visited me for the first home health visit that they give you when you're breastfeeding and you just had a baby.
Amy, would you mind speaking just a little louder?
Sorry, okay. Well, I had a home health nurse tell me that I had to go get drugs from my OBGYN. So I went to my OBGYN when I was 6 days postpartum, and he put me on Zoloft. This was just because I was anxious. He said it was for postpartum anxiety. I was worried about my baby because he almost died, and within 3 days of being on Zoloft, I became homicidal and suicidal, and I checked into the hospital, and they put me in the psychiatric ward. They tried to give me more drugs, and then they convinced me I had to stay on Zoloft or else I was going to go crazier and probably kill my baby if I didn't keep taking it. So I just figured they knew what they were doing and that they wouldn't tell me that if they didn't really think it was true, so they must really, like, have my best interest at heart. And I stayed on it, and I even raised my dose 2 times because the psychiatrist that I started seeing after that wanted me to raise it so that I could be helped more. And it just made me more homicidal each time. By the end of the time I was on Zoloft, I was so psychotic that I could have thoughts, like, all day long about killing my baby, and it didn't seem to bother me that much. So I finally just figured out, like, that no matter how long it took it, the thoughts weren't ever going to go away, and the Zoloft was probably what was causing it, because it just never got better like they said it was going to. And I went off of it against medical advice. I tapered off of it over, like, 3 to 4 weeks. And then a couple of weeks later, I was fine. I felt like a real normal person again. And after that, I did some reading, and I got really angry and decided I was going to start trying to warn other people. So what's going on right now is there's a federal bill called the Mothers Act where they want to basically do what was done to me but to all mothers, and they want to make it required that all doctors screen and treat people who are depressed or who are considered about to become depressed.
And what they really want to do is, of course, get every pregnant woman onto Zoloft or onto Prozac or these other SSRI inhibitors. And if you read the black box on the label, they have this area in the label of where they will tell you that this produces homicidal and suicidal tendencies and ideologies. Why would you give this sort of thing to people, you know, to help them emotionally?
There's no reason to.
All right, you go right ahead, Amy. And so we're beginning to tell us about the Mother's Bill, which is really so important. What's actually happening with this legislation? Do we know?
You mean like what its status is, or
what's its current status of the Mother's Bill?
The bill is to ensure that new mothers and their families are given education, screening, and provided with essential services, and to increase research at the National Institutes of Health. And when you keep reading, you find out that they consider postpartum depression something that mothers cannot recover from unless they get drugs. Then they also say that postpartum depression can strike during and after pregnancy. So they're redefining postpartum as including during pregnancy, which makes no sense.
No, there's very little going on. It makes much sense, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then they're going to give grants to different people who will go around and enforce the law, including people who are not medical professionals and states and people who work for tribal government territories, homeless shelters, hospices. They're going to require midwives and doctors to do this to women, too. Not just doctors, but midwives. So even if you don't want to go to an OB, you're still going to be screened. And then they want to offer other services, such as case management, and they're promoting quote, earlier diagnosis and treatment. And they want to do research on minorities to find out what the difference is between different groups of minorities and postpartum depression. I guess their excuse, I don't know what their excuse for that is, but to me that sounds like eugenics.
It could very well be. There really are people in this country today who believe in genetic engineering, who believe in eugenics, who believe we ought to get rid of the, you know, the inferior races. And there really are people and who have no human compassion. They have an entirely different worldview. And until we understand that, so much of what's going on today really doesn't make sense.
Well, I think that might be part of the reason why these drugs have been around for so long, is because they do cause a lot of people to kill themselves, and a lot of people believe that mentally ill people are that way because of genes, which isn't, in my opinion, true at all. But I mean, even if that were true, you could give someone Zoloft, they become mentally ill. So, if they, I've heard doctors say to me, these are doctors who had no idea what I've been through. Oh, we need to cull those people out of the society.
Did you actually hear a doctor say that?
Oh yeah, this was the day of Virginia Tech. I was actually at my dermatologist, and I was like, wow, did you hear what just happened? He's like, yeah, that guy's crazy. And then I went back the next week, and
hold
like,
on.
You know, we really need to call these people out of the society.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, Amy, guest is Amy Philo. And Amy, you know, was after she had her child, and a couple of days after the child was born, he began to choke. He almost died. They were able, of course, to get his airway cleared, but she had a panic attack. And as a result of the panic attack, why her healthcare worker came and said, oh, my goodness, you got to go to your obstetrician and get him to put you on some pills for that, for your mental health. So, of course, Amy gets put on Zoloft, and, of course, she begins to, within a few days, begin having homicidal and suicidal thoughts, but homicidal thoughts about killing her baby. And so she eventually goes back to the doctor, and then, of course, she gets worse and worse. They put her in the mental institution. They keep giving her more and more medication. And the more medication they give her, why, the more homicidal thoughts she develops. And till finally on her own, over the objection of her doctors and everybody else, she took herself off the medication, and she returned to normal. Now, what most people do not know, because the doctor doesn't know, because he doesn't read the package insert, and he probably doesn't read the proper medical journals that tell the truth about these medications, these so-called SSRI, that serum serotonin reabsorption inhibitor. Fancy way of saying is you're going to block reabsorption of serotonin. The levels are going to go up, and oh boy, that's going to be great for you. But the trouble in a certain number of people, in a significant number of people, it produces homicidal and suicidal tendencies, which is one reason why there are over 100 American servicemen in prison today. They are ex-servicemen, having come back from the first Gulf, from the second Gulf War, most of them having been put on Prozac, where they turn around and they kill their families, and then they end up going to prison. And nobody wants to point out that the reason they had the homicidal and tendencies is because of SSRI drugs they were on. The same thing is happening as far as suicide is concerned. Today, 18 servicemen, on average, committed suicide. 18 servicemen, almost 2,000 a month, between 1,200 and 2,000 servicemen a month commit suicide, and they do that because, of course, they're on these medications. When they come back, the first thing they do, if they have any complaints at all, is put them on Prozac, and so many of them do become suicidal. And they're covering this up at the Veterans Administration. We did a program on that last night. Understand the great human tragedy that's unfolding. But, of course, the great human tragedy now is about to unfold, and that is that the United States Congress, in its wisdom, has passed legislation because they want to protect mothers. Oh, who could be against protecting mothers? And they want, of course, then to require by federal law that every health care deliverer will begin to evaluate women during the course of their pregnancy for the possibility of postpartum depression, and during their pregnancy place them on Prozac, or place them on Prozac immediately after their pregnancy, and whether it's Prozac or Luvox or the other myriad of serum serotonin reabsorbent inhibitors, they're going to create more and more mental disease among our mothers. What business is that of the federal government? Oh, we're from the federal government. We're the congressmen, and we want to help pregnant women. Well, what does this do to the children in utero? In other words, unborn children in the wombs of mothers that get started on Prozac, Amy, because I know you've looked into this.
Yeah. Well, there's a double risk that your baby could be born with birth defects in general. I believe with Paxil, it's even higher than that. And many babies are actually killed in the womb. The risk of miscarriage and stillbirth is doubled. And the risk of preterm birth is actually 5 times higher if you're on an SSRI. A lot of babies who are born early, which technically the definition of preterm birth is from 20 weeks of gestation on up to about 36. That is very dangerous for babies. They definitely wind up in the NICU if they're born before about 36 weeks.
Well, now, why would the congressman vote to force these drugs on women who really don't have a problem? What, of course, you're going to have an increase in abortions and an increase in miscarriages, an increase in congenital abnormalities, and an increase in premature birth, because premature birth creates all sorts of problems for the child. It can influence their entire life, increases brain injury and the number of children with low IQs. Why would Congress be involved in something like that? And what business is of Congress anyway about pregnant women and trying to prevent depression?
Well, the only explanation is they're either unaware or they get paid a whole lot of money to do this. I know that a lot of them do receive significant amounts of pharmaceutical funding, and I have that listed on my website, the dollar amount.
All right, fine. You mean specifically from the pharmaceutical companies that create these diseases, these drugs?
Right. A lot of congressmen get money for their campaigns from pharma. The top two this year are Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and they are both co-sponsors of the Mothers Act.
They are. Both Obama and Hillary have sponsored this act. Now,
Well,
let's tell our listeners, where is the act today? My understanding is it's passed the House of Representatives, and now it's going to the Senate. Is that right?
Right. It passed the House. There were only 3 votes against it, but there were 46 abstentions, so that's a 2/3 majority that's required to pass it without debate, which is what they did. And it's in committee in the Senate. It's in the HELP Committee. That's H-E-L-P. It's under Edward Kennedy. It's the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. It's been stalled for a few months now. And there's one senator who's been the most prominent voice against it, and that's Dr. Coburn from Oklahoma. He's put a hold on it a few times, or he said he's going to put a hold on it. But what he's done so far is just prevent it from even making it out of committee.
Well, thank goodness and thank God for Senator Tom Coburn. He's a physician, you know. He understands what this is all about, and he's one of the few voices of sanity in the entire insane United States Senate that plunges from crisis to crisis to crisis. And there's no problem facing America today that new pieces of legislation by the Senate and the House of Representatives won't make worse. Why would only 3 doctors in the House of Representatives vote against legislation that would bring such catastrophe to pregnant women and destroy the lives of their unborn children and perhaps destroy the lives of the mothers?
I don't know that much about the 46 people who abstained, but to me it just seems like they had to try this bill over and over until they could finally find a way to get it through.
But, of course, won't this make tremendous profits for Big Pharma?
Of course. I mean, it's not bad enough already that we have 1/3 of pregnant women taking psychiatric drugs. They want more. There's no reason to pass this other than to get profits up. And the person who's pushing for this is named Robert Menendez. He's a senator from New Jersey. New Jersey has 75% of the pharmaceutical companies in the world in their state. New Jersey's not a very big state, so that would mean like most of the people living in New Jersey will benefit from funding that'll, I mean, that will increase the revenue of the state.
What are there scientific studies that show that this actually will increase the incidence of birth defects, that will increase the incidence of abortions, and certainly the increase the incidence of premature birth? Are these scientific studies valid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have them all on my website, and they've been in the news for years. And I did a Google search one day a few years ago and found some of these that were just scientific studies that had been done. And it makes sense because serotonin is a smooth muscle constrictor. And so all the organs of the body, like the heart and the lungs and things, are smooth muscle tissues. And serotonin is also found in tumors in high amounts. So when the baby's in development, if their smooth muscles are being constricted when they're developing, then they're not going to work properly. It's kind of like with FinFin and Redux and Meridia. Those cause a lot of heart complications for adults. They're basically SSRIs, and they were pulled from the market. Those are diet drugs, but, I mean, these are extremely damaging to adults. They killed Heath Ledger. They killed Anna Nicole Smith. What do you think it's going to do to a baby?
And I think what's really so tragic is that this is not being discussed in the media. It's not being discussed, you know, certainly by the physicians have no idea. I mean, you mentioned when you were, of course, under psychiatric care, and you thought that the doctors wouldn't be doing this unless it was right. And I'm sure the doctors really believed they were helping you. I mean, I practiced medicine for many years. I never met a doctor who wanted to hurt anybody. They did it because they didn't know, and because they'd been lied to by the medical organizations, and they'd been lied to by the pharmaceutical industry, and they'd been lied to by the people who publish their medical journals, and of course are very selective in what they do. And we have a wonderful book written by Dr. Marcia Angel called What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. Dr. Angel was on the staff at Harvard. She was certainly the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, which is the most prestigious of all the medical journals in the United States. And, of course, he wrote a book about the drug companies and how they were really, of course, ripping off the American people and many times releasing drugs that just aren't safe. And, boy, did the drug companies go after her. And I had the opportunity to debate with a representative of the drug companies, and he just let it slip that they were monitoring everything that she did. And it was really a fascinating opportunity. The last thing, of course, they really wanted, but, of course, in the heat of the debate, he actually let it slip that they were monitoring her speaking engagements and her activities. And that's what they do to anybody who tells the truth, as did Marshall Angel. And this is why what Amy is doing is so vitally important. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you're out there in the listening audience, I hope you want to get copies of this program. And we're putting together a 4-tape set on Prozac. It'll be ready before very long. You need to understand that they're destroying the lives of mothers. They're destroying the lives of unborn children. But what is even more inconceivable, they know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they're using the gullible members of the United States Senate and the gullible members of the House of Representatives who are not following their dictate to uphold our Constitution. Well, Amy, of course, as you're studying this thing and you're trying to get the word out, is there a lot of interest across America? Are people writing in? Is this what's actually put a hold on this legislation in the Senate?
I believe so. When it first kicked into high gear a couple of months ago, I know that they seemed to be flooded with calls. And when I would call and talk to them, they would say, oh, yeah, we've had a lot of calls on that, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of slowed down. Like, my petition has about 7,800 signatures. For a while there, I was getting, like, one every 5 minutes. But it's been a little bit slower lately. I guess people are starting to think that it's not going to pass. But yesterday there was this piece in a New Jersey Record newspaper article written basically like a drug advertisement where they interviewed me and asked me like a bunch of stupid questions and then like put one comment in there from me, and the rest were all these bogus things about how antidepressants treat depression and the bill's so great. And Robert Menendez actually said that anyone opposed to the bill is wrong-minded. And they claim that the drugs treat depression, which is false because that's never been proven to be true. And then they, like, don't even want to talk about the homicide and the suicide and the birth defects. They just, like, sugarcoat everything. So this is from a New Jersey reporter named Elise Young, and I'm about to issue a press release talking about all the information that I provided her that she chose not to report.
And, of course, that is the great tragedy. Of course, you don't know whether that's the reporter or whether that's the people who own the newspaper or the editor. I mean, many times reporters have put in a good article, and then, of course, they edit it. Sometimes the reporter really are, and of course, I know I've had a lot of experience with reporters, and some of them really are dishonest. They have an agenda. Others are honest, and they never had an opportunity to get the truth out. But be that as it may, the public really is totally unaware of this program to harm our children. Now, our telephone number here, if you're out in the listening audience, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call if you have a question for Amy. Amy, tell us a little bit about your petition that you're trying to get signatures on.
If you go to uniteforlife.org, that's UNITEFORLIFE.org, there's a link to the petition. It's on the Care2 petition website. It's called Stop the Dangerous and Invasive Mothers Act. And it's protesting the bill and any government program to screen women and encourage psychiatric drugs to women. And then it goes on to list the problems with the drugs, such as the black box suicide warning and the stillbirth and birth defects and SIDS. And basically, just we want to protect our freedom and our freedom of choice about our own lives. So I have about 7,800 signatures right now, and I started it on February 15th of this year. And the other side has had about 7 years now to work on trying to get this through. I guess this year is a good year for them because Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are not going to oppose something like this in an election year.
All right, fine. Because now, Cindy, the scientific studies are all there. People need to get the information. What's the website again?
It's uniteforlife.org.
Uniteforlife.org. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Amy Philo. We're talking about not only, of course, Prozac, we're talking about the Mothers Act, which is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation I've ever heard about, because, of course, it will destroy the lives of literally millions of Americans. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Amy Philo. We're talking about the Mothers Act, which is designed to destroy the lives of millions of Americans, mothers and millions of American children. And of course, is there any relationship between putting a mother on Prozac and the child developing cancer at a later date? Is there any evidence of that?
I haven't read specific studies on that, but I did read one study showing that when a woman takes Prozac or any SSRI, her risk of breast cancer is sevenfold.
Sevenfold increase in breast cancer, but the members of Congress are there because they want to help women. Well, let's go, of course, to Victoria, who's calling from New York. Where about you calling from in New York, Victor?
Well, I'm coming from Amsterdam.
All right, fine. Is that close to Utica or where?
It's between Utica and Albany.
All right, you listen to us then on the big station up there in Utica?
No, we listen to Cherry Valley.
Okay, fine.
1.9.
All right, fine, great.
KIV.
All right, fine. Well, that's... So anyway, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, well, I was wondering, I'm in the mental health system. My mother had a problem. She was sent to a state hospital before I was born. And I sent to inherit a problem as I grew into my 20s. And it seems like they're making it like me on a pendulum to get off the system as I learn to question assertively now, as to accepting Christ and working a 12-step program, too, along with their program.
Well, now, are you having problems, mental problems at the present time?
Not really. Sometimes I don't sleep enough.
All right, fine. Of course, you know, we have a wonderful, of course, DVD put out by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock, called Nutrition and Health. And there he points out that many mental illnesses are related to diet and, of course, the things that we eat. And if you actually even take schizophrenics and you put them on the proper diet, many times schizophrenia will clear up. So the nutrition and behavior is the DVD that we carry.
Yeah, also, if you go to the web and you go to Dr. Yourself, there's a lot of information about treating psychosis and different things with nutrition.
All right, fine. And, Amy, in your research, have you noted that there seems to be a relationship between nutrition and behavior?
Yeah, I mean, there are many people who talk about orthomolecular psychiatry, which is mega vitamin therapy.
Right. And how do those people do? Many of them do pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have this one friend who was in the mental institution for 4 years, and he finally managed to get some nutritional therapy from the Cypher Institute, and he was sneaking his vitamins and then spitting out his pills, and he got better, and they let him out. They thought that they had done something right.
Anything else you wanted to say, Victor?
That's what I was kind of doing, too. They give me vitamins, and I'm eating a better diet now, and they cut down my medication. I'm trying to get back on my feet again.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you do, and I hope you keep listening to our program.
Thank you. You're very knowledgeable. I'm very thankful to have you in my area.
God bless, and thanks so much. Okay, that was Victor calling from upstate New York. He's listening on our one of our stations up there. And Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. I thank you for bringing your guest on because it tweaked my memory when Ann Blake Tracy was on and was discussing the subject matter and the fact that, for instance, Effexor has in the contraindication section statement to the effect that it's known to have a cause a significant increase in homicidal and suicidal behavior.
Yes, that was a very interesting interview with Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. She does a good job.
Oh, she does.
Right.
Marvelous. And I want to encourage the audience, if they have just any intention for activism, that you can go in through your neighborhood, and I do this almost on a daily basis now. And now that I know about Osama, Barack Obama, and Hillary, where I see their signs in people's yards, I'll be knocking on their doors and asking them, "Are you aware of the Mothers Act, and that these two candidates are sponsoring it, etc."
Wow, thank you.
An absolute
thank you so
golden
much.
Opportunity for right activism. And lastly, Dr. Stan, I just want to call attention to the fact that Marcia Engel is joined by Dr. Jerome Kassir, who is also a previous editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. He authored On the Take. And then there was Carolyn Dean, who authored Death by Modern Medicine and some other books. She had to go to Canada to publish her book through a Canadian publisher.
Well, of course, they certainly want to get the information out here, and, of course, they have an iron control, largely of the book publishing industry, and, of course, they want to do the maximum harm to our people and specifically to our mothers and unborn children. Okay, anything else you want to say, Jack, before we let you go?
Well, lastly, now that you mentioned that, Dr. Stan, I remember the interview.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jack calling from Michigan. We have Amy Philo. That's Amy Philo, P-H-I-L-O, on the line. And, Jack, does you have anything else you wanted to say?
Lastly, real quick, Len Horowitz mentioned the upon acquiring all the research data that he did, he concludes that the pharma cabal, as it operates since World War II, is the offspring of the Nazi death camp scientists and all their experiments, and obviously the track record speaks to that quite clearly. And I just want to thank Amy for coming on, and I'll certainly be directing people to her website as well as yours, Dr. Stan, as I always do.
Thanks very much, Jack. And you you get the thing straightened out there. You are in Detroit, aren't you?
No, sir. I'm in Flint.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, you get things straightened out in Flint. We'll get somebody else to straighten them out there in Detroit.
Yeah.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right, fine. That was, of course, Jack calling from Michigan and from Flint, Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And the only way that we have to get the information out is for people telling people. And that's why it's so important that you get the information. And, of course, a lot of what we're saying sounds so just far out, but you can check it out, certainly on the Internet. And you can go to Amy Philo's website. Amy, do you know Byron Richards? We've had him on as well talking on this.
Yeah, he's helped me a lot. He's great.
And, of course, then we have and Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. And the information is out there. You just need to get it. And you need to help us reach as many people as we can, because they're killing our children. They're destroying the lives of our pregnant women and certainly of expectant mothers. And they know exactly what they're doing. Certainly the people who are pushing these drugs know of the deleterious effects. And you mentioned earlier that there's a serious question, they don't work. Now, how can you say that when all the doctors tell us they do work?
Well, they're basing that on a bunch of stuff they were told by pharmaceutical reps. And we have a study that just came out this year that proves what Peter Bregan said in his books and what Dr. Tracy said in her books. This was all obtained through lawsuits before the New England Journal of Medicine reported it. But people have been telling us for a long time that the drugs have never been proven to work better than a placebo. And then the New England Journal of Medicine published this recently, and suddenly everyone's like, oh, really? Wow. Aha. And so it's like, wow, people are finally listening. But what they did was they took all these studies that the drug companies themselves conducted, which were not successful.
Hold those thoughts. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Amy Philo. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Amy, before we go on, I want you to get your website out again so people will know how to get in touch with you. I would get in touch with your petition you've got out there and get the scientific studies that show, first of all, these drugs do not work. They work about as well as placebo, the sugar pill. They have lots of sugar pill studies, and of course, the Prozac works just about as well as the placebo, maybe a little bit better, 1% or so, but not that much better. But all of the complications that they have, and they know about them, and they know what it does to the pregnant woman, and they know what it does to the unborn child, and they know it produces abortions, and they know it produces congenital abnormalities. And isn't one of those congenital abnormalities an interceptal heart defect?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And my website's uniteforlife.org.
Uniteforlife.org. Repeat it. You always have to repeat everything at least 2 or 3 times on the radio. So that's uniteforlife.org?
Yes.
All right.
The studies that were suppressed were kept out of journals, and the FDA knew about them, but they never told anyone. The FDA only requires 2 studies that show a benefit.
And, of course, all the studies that show there's no benefit, they just never get published.
Right. And so they finally published them this year. And the ones that were negative that did make it into journals were misreported as being positive. And I've seen that throughout all sorts of places where they pretend like a study found one thing, and if you actually read the study, it found something different. And,
the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. And when you're talking about billions of dollars, what a little white lie? If you're talking about billions of dollars, what's a few thousand deformed children?
Yeah, and
that's
really
what it's really about.
That they have been using Melanie Stokes. That's who the bill is named after, is Melanie Stokes. She was actually on at least 3 drugs at the time that she died, and she'd been given shock and put through 4 different cocktails for 3 months. She was hospitalized 4 times, and they're saying that she wasn't treated for psychosis promptly enough. She was given antipsychotic drugs, antidepressant drugs, and anti-anxiety drugs. And they're going to sit there and claim that that she needed more treatment.
Of course, probably the reason she was having all of her problems was because she was on drugs that promote homicidal and suicidal tendencies.
Yeah.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295, and we would hope that you have a question or comment. Give us a call. This is such an incredible, certainly a story, and you're not going to read about this, you know, in the regular media. I did read one article in the New York Times that talked about, of course, the fact that the Prozac really wasn't much better than the sugar pill. But the Mother's Act I have not been reading about, and I read the New York Times and the Washington Post and my local newspaper and the San Jose Mercury newspaper as well, and on a regular basis. How much information is getting out on the Mother's Bill today other than in alternative media? Amy, are you seeing, because I'm sure you're checking out all these stories, certainly is the public really aware of the Mother's Bill?
I don't think most people know about it, but I mean, I've been doing everything I can. I have had a few mainstream people cover it. I was on local NBC and CBS news shows, 10 o'clock show, and then I was also interviewed for a Frisco, which is the city I live in, a Frisco paper that goes throughout the Frisco McKinney area in Texas. And also then this New Jersey Record article that was totally bogus promo for drugs piece that came out yesterday.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Maria, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Maria. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do have. Thank you for taking my call. And I do have my question is... Well, I have learned about a website that talks about people being influenced by non-lethal neurological frequency. And I would like Amy to take a look at this website called Project Freedom.
I see. Now, what is this all about, Maria? What does it have to do with frequencies?
Yeah, it's like... it's like people are being bombarded with some neurological frequency through, you know, how they are being put chips on people.
Well, of course, you're talking about really EMG waves, and of course, some people actually are very, very sensitive to those, and those certainly are very, very prevalent in our society. So was there anything specific you had to have a question for Amy at all?
Well, I would really like to speak with her, you know, but if she cannot speak with me, then I would really appreciate if she could take a look at this website called Project Freedom.
All right, fine.
Look at it.
And I appreciate your call, Maria. Anything else you wanted to say?
And that's really what I would like her to take a look, and then I know she can help other people with that.
All right, fine.
Okay, yeah, you can email me. My email address is amy@uniteforlife.org.
That's amy@uniteforlife.org. Do you have access to a computer, Maria?
Yes, I do.
All right, there you are, amy@uniteforlife.org.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much.
Okay, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, I would love to hear from you. But we're talking about legislation that has already passed the House of Representatives. It is currently in committee in the Senate. Why do you think this is being held up in the Senate? Is it because the people have been calling in? Do some of the senators know what's going on? Or is it simply Tom Coburn, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma's effort to block bring this out of committee?
Well, I actually went on a trip to D.C. recently with a bunch of other people, and we went and met with about 20 or more senators' offices, but I don't know how much of it is getting passed under the senators themselves. I actually did meet with one from New Mexico personally, and I told him that it doesn't matter what kind of amendments they try to add to the bill, there's no point in passing it unless you want to hurt women and children.
And I think that's such a good point. I mean, why do you want to hurt pregnant women? Why do you want to hurt children? Of course, you ask people that, they're going to say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But that's what you're doing with this legislation. Don't you understand that everything you pass here in Washington, D.C. has consequences? and you're going to be hurting the women and children, and you're going to be held responsible when the truth comes out. And how much money did you get from Big Pharma?
Yeah.
A word of grace, you voted for this.
Yeah, well, I don't think that it would matter to certain people in the Senate whether or not, like, a million people were calling or standing on their doorstep. I don't think it would matter to Barack Obama. I personally have called 5 or 6 times to try to get a comment from him. They don't want to give me one. They don't want to explain why he supports it, yet he supports every mental health screening bill that I've ever heard of. He thinks that everything is all about untreated mental illness and that homeless people are homeless because they're mentally ill, and kids in school all need to just take their Ritalin. So I don't think he's ever going to move on it. And certain people I know have actually in the committee gotten up and left the committee meetings in order to not have a quorum because they didn't want to consider amendments on the bill. And so that's why it's not being put through.
Well, are these senators actively want to prevent amendments to the bill, or do they want to block the bill? Because that's a very effective means of blocking it if they can never get a quorum.
I've never really gotten details on who it was leaving, so I don't know. That's just what I heard from one of the senator's aides that I was talking to. I don't know if these people were leaving because they didn't want to have to put the amendments through, or just to... I don't know. I mean...
Well, what sort of amendments are there to the legislation?
They won't show them to me.
Beg your pardon?
They won't show them to me, so I assume that they're just amendments that would make the bill...
Well, now, how about the funding of this? Who's going to pay for the Prozac and the Luvox and the other medications that they're going to be given to the mothers? Is the government going to pay for it? Is the parent going to pay for it?
They're also simultaneously trying to pass through mental health parity, which would require insurance companies to cover mental illnesses at the same rate that they cover all other diseases.
Well, wait a minute now, because it means they're going to control the prices on these products that are being put out to damage our children?
No, they're just going to require everyone to have insurance that pays for whatever mental health services the doctor wants to give you.
And, of course, this is one of the things that really runs up the cost of health insurance is, by requiring the long-term psychiatric care, of course, be included. And, of course, when you do that, then, of course, there's more of an incentive to keep people in the hospitals because, after all, they're going to be paid for by the government. Doesn't cost anybody anything.
Yeah.
At least that seems to be the attitude. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. And, Amy, if you go to our website, you'll find that the information is there. And uniteforlife.org, that's uniteforlife.org. Look at the articles that tell about the congenital abnormalities, the premarital births, certainly the problems. Do we know anything at all about what happens to the intelligence of the child later on down the line? Is there any studies on that?
I can't recall the name of the study, but I know that, like, for example, Ritalin causes shrinking of the brain, and it's a stimulant, and antidepressants are also stimulants.
Well, of course, we know that according to Dr. Peter Bregan's book, if you put a child on Ritalin, you stunt their growth, they get a smaller brain, smaller skull, and of course, this becomes non-reversible. In other words, these kids might have grown up to be able to play for the Lakers or something of that sort, but they're never going to. They're going to be stunted in their growth because they were put on Ritalin, and of course, their brains were much smaller. Would we have any idea whether this carries over into the SSRI type of drugs?
Well, I would think so, and it's pretty sick what certain people are promoting. Like, there's recently an article that claims that antidepressants also treat HIV and cancer, when they actually cause cancer.
Well, no, wait a minute. You're saying that the SSRI drugs can actually cause cancer?
Well, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, they cause breast cancer.
Oh, breast cancer, okay. And you said there was a 7-fold increase in breast cancer?
But now people are starting to claim that antidepressants treat HIV and treat cancer. And also, I've read things from different people. There's one article from this breastfeeding researcher named Kathleen Kendall Tackett. She promotes antidepressants. She says that they're the same as omega-3 fatty acids.
The same as omega-3. What's the relationship between these drugs and omega-3 fatty acids? Omega-3 fatty acids are among the essential oils that we do need in our diet, but this is not an essential oil, is it?
No. They're attempting to claim that the reason omega-3s work for depression is because they work like SSRIs.
No, but that doesn't mean that SSRIs work like omega-3s, does it?
They're claiming that there's some immune cytokine, or I'm not sure how you say it, I'm not a doctor, but cytokine that, like, is an inflammatory thing in the brain.
Well, your pronunciation is right, and the cytokines are a product of inflammation, right?
Something about how they both reduce that. They're claiming that SSRIs reduce inflammation.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they're just basically going around finding anything they can to, like, illogically relate to anything else and try to claim that it's healthy to take SSRIs.
Well, now, are these articles being put forward by Big Pharma to try to trap people and deceive people into taking these poisons?
Yeah. I researched some of the sources, and they were provided funding by different pharmaceutical companies to conduct the studies at different psychiatric universities.
But of course the trouble is that if you do a study that is not favorable to the drug company, you'll never get money again. So, I mean, certainly these scientists, these men who call themselves scientists, who work, you know, and get their subsidies and their grants from the big pharma, are simply prostituting their profession so they can get grants and they can keep making money. And that's unconscionable. So much is done in the name of science, and unfortunately, science is based upon integrity, and integrity is a very, very rare commodity in America today.
And there's also another study in this one of these articles that was related to the one I just told you about. It was in one of the references, claiming that Paxil increases the brain mass of the hippocampus, and that therefore, Paxil is effective for treating post-traumatic stress disorder. That's their evidence, but...
go ahead.
The only thing about what could possibly be increased in the brain by Paxil would be a brain tumor.
And now, is there any suggestion that any of the Paxil or any of the other SSRIs are related to brain tumors?
I've heard that, and that study seems to suggest it in my view.
No, did this study actually talk about it, any sort of a controlled study, or was this just a coincidental finding? Or is there any numerical or any comparative studies?
I don't know the answer, but I talked to Dr. Tracy about it before.
Hold that for just a minute, Amy. We're having a little trouble here with our board, and we'll get the thing straightened out in just a moment. Go ahead, Amy, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've talked to Dr. Tracy about the brain tumors before, and she says that is one of the results of Prozac and other SSRIs, but I don't know the exact name of the study.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand that there's even the potential source possibility that, you know, that these SSRIs are going to contribute to cancer, certainly if it produces cancer in the breast.
Well, if you look at the definition in a dictionary of serotonin, one of the medical dictionaries I looked in said that serotonin is found in high amounts in carcinoid tumors.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's one suggestion right there.
But that, of course, the question is, does the serotonin create the carcinoid tumor, or does the carcinoid tumor create the serotonin? And that would be the major question we would have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if the carcinoid tumor is actually manufacturing serotonin, that would not necessarily mean that
okay.
It was a secondary result of that. So we have to be so careful in what we say, because believe me, you can say everything right and one thing wrong, and they're right there to jump on that one thing.
That's why I'm not a doctor
yet. Well, no, you're doing pretty well. You're doing a lot better than most doctors, because you've really been interested in this. You're trying to get the truth out. And the great tragedy is that doctors, most of them, are well-motivated, want to help their patients, but they're never hearing what you have brought out and never hearing about these studies that you have.
Yeah, I think if you read the drug label, there might be something on cancer on the drug label, but I can't remember because it's been a while since I've read one.
All right, fine. That would be on the package inserts you're speaking of.
Yeah, and you can find those online.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Amy Philo. Jack's calling from Michigan. We'll be with him in just a moment. And, of course, if you'd like to get to Amy's website, it is, tell them the website again, Amy.
Unite for Life. nightsforlife.org.
Yeah, nightsforlife.org. And Amy, she's a housewife. She's a mother. She's, you know, but she's doing this because she's concerned about other women falling a trap into the same trap and the same problem that she has. Are you concerned about the mothers, about the children? Because this program is designed to hurt both mothers and children. And we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, Jack, do you have another point you want to make? Jack, you there? Oh, I guess we didn't get Jack out there. Jack, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dr. Stan.
Have another point you wanted to make?
Thank you, yes. You tweaked my memory regarding what I think Senator Hillary stated back in the late 90s, that children, and I think it was somewhere around kindergarten, that she proposed that they be subjected to drug studies as well as adults. And then I think, Dr. Stan, it was Anne Blake Tracy and Russell Blaylock who referred to Abraham Hoffer, or is it Abraham, whatever, Abraham Hoffer, who is, I think, recognized as the father of modern psychiatry, and he specialized, as Amy said, in orthomolecular nutrition and was able to reverse the worst-case scenarios of schizophrenia, et cetera, by these nutritional protocols.
Yeah, and these are the same people that don't want us to have access to vitamins and certain natural therapies, but they want us on toxic drugs.
And I think that's really such a very important point. Why is the Federal Drug Administration interested in limiting our access to beneficial vitamins and then giving us dangerous and cancer-producing medications?
Yep.
Have to ask a question, and what is the logical conclusion? Anything else you want to say, Jack, before we let you go?
Lastly, Dr. Stan, I think you're intimating the Codex endeavor
right.
Relative to limiting our access to therapeutic nutraceutics.
Right. That's Codex Alimentarius, I think they call it. Okay. Anything else you want to say before I let you go, Jack?
God bless.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Amy Philo. Amy, you've got about 1 minute to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners out there across America?
Just that they need to look into this Mother's Act because it's going to put a lot more women on drugs. A lot of these women are vulnerable, they are not informed, and they have no idea what's going to happen to them. They will end up, many women will end up killing their babies, killing themselves. There will be babies that never get to be born because they're going to die from pregnancy exposure. So just do anything you can to spread the word and call the Senate. Go to my website and get the information on what you can do to help. And on that Codex thing, if you go to my website, there's another link on there for the International Advocates for Health Freedom, and there's a guy named John Hamill. He's one I was telling you about earlier who recovered from the mental institution from vitamins.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so much, Amy. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America and you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You can join the Tape of the Month Club and get our 4 best tapes or CDs of the month and get our monthly newsletter. You can just get our monthly newsletter or really whatever you'd like. Anything you can do to help will be appreciated. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. We do carry the 4-tape set carry the book by Dr. Marshall Angel, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. That's What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. We are putting together a 4-tape set on Prozac. It is not available yet. Probably will be in the next a couple of weeks of 4 excellent interviews that will give you the background of what we're talking about. They want to poison our pregnant mothers. They want to poison our children, unborn children. And the complications of this they know all about. But they're going to get Congress to mandate that every woman will be monitored and encouraged to be placed on these SSRI drugs, these psychiatric drugs, prophylactically so they won't get postpartum depression. And you remember, of course, that woman who, I've forgotten her name, but she had actually drowned her 5 children. She was on these type of drugs. Nobody's pointed out that she had a psychiatric problem because of the drugs. And she killed all 5 of her children. And we see this time and again. Almost every one of the major shootings that we've seen, whether it be in Columbine or Virginia Tech, or where we see these people going onto the campus and killing other people, are people who are on these psychiatric drugs, which promote homicidal and suicidal tendencies. And you can look on the black box warning on these drugs and find out this is absolutely true. Understand they know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And they say, oh, we've got to take the guns away from the people. No, maybe we ought to take the Prozac away from the people that's giving them the ideas and implanting their mind these psychiatric, homicidal, and suicidal impulses. So understand this is not imaginary. It's really very real. And, of course, there's a program to give this to our children in school at ever younger ages and, of course, destroy their lives accordingly. Understand we're up against organized evil. When you understand that, it all makes sense. You need, of course, to hear my talk on Nundare College genocide, my talk on planned population reduction. We have a 4-tape set on population control. You need to read my population control agenda monograph. So that's the talk, Nundare College genocide, planned population reduction, the 4-tape set on population control, and the monograph, the population control agenda monograph. And certainly we recommend all of these items to you. Get them. Understand that so many of the things all fit together. There is an organized effort to reduce the population of the United States, to promote cancer, to conceal treatments for cancer. And if you doubt that, let me suggest one of the most devastating 4-tape sets we have. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians, and you can get that actually with a transcript. The only one we have a transcript for, but this is such an important document because it talks about a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day back in 1969. Dr. Richard Day was